Lesson. Luke 11:33. No one lights a lamp and puts it in a place where it will be hidden or under a bowl. Instead, he puts it on its stand so that those who come in may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eyes are good, your whole body is also in full of light. Also is full of light. But when they are bad, your body also is full of darkness. See to it, then, that the light within you is not darkness. Therefore, if your whole body is full of light and no part of it dark, it will be completely lighted, as when the light of the lamp shines on you.
In the book, Being God's Partner, How to Find the Hidden Link Between Spirituality and Your Work, Jeffrey Salkin wrote, for many Americans, work is now the emotional and spiritual center of life. He went on to say, workaholism and its handmaidens, careerism and materialism, aren't only social issues, they're religious issues. In her book, Working Ourselves to Death, Diane Fassel wrote, work is God for the compulsive worker, and nothing gets in the way of this God. Obviously, this weekend, we celebrate, in some sense of that term, Labor Day. We know that goes back more than 100 years in terms of its celebration, and it was designed to recognize and value people who were working very hard, what we might call blue-collar jobs. It's gone on since then to encompass people who are working in any kind of job, whether it's deemed white-collar or blue-collar or any other kind of collar. But the people who have chosen work as their God are people who have chosen devotion to a false God of this world instead of devotion to the true and eternal God Almighty. The Bible speaks about this kind of thinking as not only evil and wicked, but it also speaks of it and pictures it as darkness. Solomon wrote in Proverbs chapter 4 and verses 18 through 19, the path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. Ephesians chapter 4 in the New Testament in verses 17 through 24 speaks of people whose thinking is futile, who are darkened in their understanding and separated because of that from the life of God. When we become Christians, we're to have put off that old life and we're to have put on a new life, a new attitude of mind, a new self that Scripture says is created to be like God, God Almighty, in true righteousness and holiness. You and I who are Christians then are to have a new identity. We're to have a new way of thinking. We're to have a new understanding. We're to have a new connection. We're to have a new life because we are a new being. We are in Christ. Through our baptism into Christ, we are symbolically married to Christ. And so we're one with Him, submitting to His leadership in our lives. We then live for Him. That's a complete change of thinking. Everything is new, it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Everything is new. We're to live righteous and holy lives. And because of that, there are holy purposes to our work, whether we're an employee or an employer. This is the thrust, really, of Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 5 through 9. There it says, slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear, and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but like slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve them wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he is a slave or free. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. So there is an ethical, Christ-focused aspect to our work. Whatever work we have, whatever its nature is, wherever that work takes us, whatever it involves, that ethical, Christ-focused aspect guides and motivates our attitudes and our actions. And so as employees, we follow our boss's direction with respect for him or her as a person who is valued by God. And we do that even if we disapprove of that boss's actions or attitudes, of their values or of their speech. We obey them with fear, and that fear is fear of displeasing them by our inferior quality of work. But more so, fear of not showing God working through us to his glory. We obey their instructions with sincere hearts, not with hypocrisy and not with self-promotion, but wholeheartedly. We conscientiously do our best for our employer because we want the best for them and because we want to honor Christ, the Christ who came to serve and not to be served. We obey our employer fully unless it's against God's word. We work with the awareness that we are ultimately serving and will be rewarded by Christ. That's a complete change of thinking. It's a complete change of attitude. It's a complete change of the approach that we take to our work. And it will change the way we look at our work and at our employer if we work like that. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18 tells Christians that we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Do you think of yourselves in that way? Do you think of yourself as one who is being reflecting God's glory? That's not only your role, but that's who you are, that's what you're doing? Do you realize that what you're doing is being transformed into the likeness of our Lord? Is that the way you approach life? And is that the way you approach your job? That's who you are, that's what you're to be about? This really happens as we offer ourselves as living sacrifices to God. It can't happen any other way. If we do that, then we will be and we will do what Christ envisions of us in Matthew chapter 5 and verses 14 through 16. There he says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." If we, by reflection of Christ our Lord, are lights to our world, to our little corner of the world, if you will, if we are a light that must be put on a stand so that we shine within that piece of our world, the people and the places about us. And if we think of that specifically today in terms of the house of our work, then we have a great responsibility, don't we? We have something laid on us by our Lord to be and to do. We spend most of our waking hours at our work. And so it's the primary place for you and I to reflect Christ's light, the light of truth, the light of God, the light of hope, the light of meaning, and the light of God's value of others. It's the primary place where God's values can be seen through our work to His glory. Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 8 through 10 is more specific about that. It not only reminds us that Christians must think and act as reflectors of Christ's light, but it also tells us what that looks like. And so the writer says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord." You and I, who are Christians, have a commission from the Lord. And that commission is, live as children of light. In other words, reflect Dad. If we're His children, reflect our Father. Who is He? What is He about? What is He like? That's who we're to be like. That's who we're to reflect. To do that, our lives must be characterized then, as the writer says here, by goodness, by righteousness, and by truth. And so you and I have some criteria, some standards of measurement that we can look at ourselves and apply. Am I one who in my workplace is reflecting goodness, righteousness, truth? Am I known by my fellow employees and by my employer as being such a person? Is that the standard that I live by? Is that what consistently comes out of me? Is that what I'm known by? We must practice these traits consciously and prayerfully so that they're seen in us every day in our work setting. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verses 5 through 6 gives us even more insight into being this light in the world. It says, "You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled." Every Christian was a child of darkness. It's hard for us to think that way, particularly for those of us who've been raised in some kind of a church setting and who've always been oriented in our way of thinking by Bible and by God, by Christ. For those of us who have never really been what we would consider to be bad people, who've never been dishonest, who've never really done anything horrendous, and yet to think that before we became a Christian, before we were baptized into Christ, before we repented of our sins, before we were washed clean by God, we were living in darkness simply because we were not living in the light. Every Christian, every one of us who is a Christian, lived in darkness until we gave ourselves in love and humility to God. And so now we must be awake, alert, and self-controlled so that we don't fall back into the darkness of sin. And you and I know that workplaces provide all kinds of temptation into all kinds of sin. We get kind of sucked into it, don't we? We get kind of oriented into to whatever kind of job setting we're in. And you know that whatever kind of job setting you're in, or even a school setting, has its own kind of culture. There are certain things that are kind of expected within that. And we have a tendency as human beings to conform. We want to be like, and we want to be like other people. And what we have to constantly remind ourselves of through this alertness, this awakeness, and this self-control is that we're not to be like other people who live in darkness. And so if their lives are characterized by ungodliness, by sin of all kinds, that's not who we're to be. That's not what we're to participate in. That our light is dimmed and eventually put completely out if we do participate in that. Due to the faith and love that they demonstrated, Jesus' follower Paul wrote about his prayer for the Christians in Colossae. It's a prayer that reveals what every Christian must know about who they are and about what they have in Christ. And so he writes this in Colossians chapter 1 and in verses 9 through 14. "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding." Don't you and I need that prayer? But he's not done. "And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way." Now listen, how does that matter? What does that come to? "Bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." You and I who are Christians are to bear the spiritual fruit that's spoken about in Galatians 5 and verses 22 and 23. And we're to do that in every good work. That includes our jobs. We're to grow in the knowledge of God so that we can know better how to think and act and speak to reflect the greatest light, the light of our Lord, in our workplace. We're to grow in an endurance, in patience, in joy, and in thankfulness to reflect God's light more fully and brightly at work. We must always be aware that we have been brought and bought from darkness into God's kingdom of light. That's where we're to live. That's what we're to reflect. That's what we're to show. That's what we're to be about. Jesus spoke of His followers as lamps who give light externally to the world. But in Matthew chapter 6 and in verses 22 and 23, Jesus speaks of lamps giving light to ourselves internally. He says the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. Isn't that what you and I really want? But Jesus doesn't stop there. He says, but if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. The exact opposite of what we want. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? This is a proverbial saying, and it has to do with a person having good spiritual eyesight, seeing the world through the righteousness of God's light, or having bad spiritual eyesight, seeing the world through the evil of Satan's darkness. In our workplace, we who are Christians must be the light. We must reflect Christ's light clearly in the darkness. And consider this for just a moment. If we do not, who will? If we curse the world for being such a dark place of evil in so many ways, and we do not show the light, who is to blame? We have a huge commission before us. This is to be what we're all about. Wherever we are, whatever kind of situation. But this also applies to employers, perhaps even more so than to employees. The standards and examples that employers and other bosses provide establish the culture of a workplace. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 9, as I read earlier, demands ethical actions from bosses which humble them to the lordship of Christ. And there are bosses out there who have such ethical standards. People of Christian faith who take it very seriously and who take it to work. The Myers family owns 5 hotel franchises in Branson, Missouri. Their corporate mission statement says, "Christian values and ethics guide all of the decisions and efforts at Myers Hotels." That's their mission statement. They apply those values to their hotel guests, to their personnel, to their peers in their industry, and to their involvement in community affairs. And it's known in their industry who they are, and they're highly respected for it. They believe their responsibility is to be role models in serving others after the model of Christ. Praise God for such people. Amen? Wouldn't we want to have more such people? Jeffrey Salkin remarked, "We never know what we do in our work that will be remembered, that will be holy. It has nothing to do with our job titles. It has everything to do with the faith, with the vision, and with the love that we bring to it." Jesus said in John chapter 3 and verses 19 through 21, "This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But everyone who lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God." That's where you and I want to live, isn't it? Isn't that the connection that you and I want to have with God? The God of light, the kingdom of light, the sons of light, the daughters of light, the life of light that is shown everywhere in our families, in our workplaces, and wherever else we venture in this life. Don't you and I want to be people who are known as being lamps of light to the world, lamps of the light of God? Are you a light to your part of the world? Nobody can answer that except you. Well, and maybe people you work around and God. Are you ready to leave the darkness, if that's where you've been living, and come into the light of God? If we can help you do that, we urge you to come forward right now as we stand and sing this song.